When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today. We're on the air 2 hours here. We got trades in baseball, trades in the NHL. We got training camps opening all over. By tomorrow, all the teams will be on the field. So we got a lot to cover here. Raz Bowl is going on. Davis and I each have our first round pick, second round pick, third round pick. I think we have our fourth too. I got to check that as well. Brett Levy involved in that as well. We're going to recap our first fantasy football draft on air here of the season. But Davis, of course, the Olympics going on as well, but we're keeping an eye on all of the trades as the Major League Baseball trade deadline comes here on Friday. The NBA draft is on Thursday, and we're seeing drafts involved there as well. And who knows, maybe the first pick overall in the NBA draft gets traded. I haven't heard that rumor in a long time in the NBA draft. Usually it's you have the pick, you take the guy. Maybe not so much this year.
Yeah, I mean, we already heard a rumor reported, a rumor I absolutely do not believe, by the way, that Oklahoma City offered Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the number 6 overall pick for Cade Cunningham. I do think Detroit should explore trading this number 1 overall pick, because, and this is totally armchair quarterback, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do get some Wiggins vibes from Cade Cunningham. I get a little bit of, you know, I just am not sure how much this guy is going to be really asserting himself and dominating himself in the NBA. And this could be one of the dumbest things I've ever said. Like, I am very open to this being completely stupid and wrong. But I feel a little bit that way about Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, and I do too. We're going to hear from him tomorrow on the show. So without further ado, let's get our headlines here. You heard Chris's. Of course, the big story is Aaron Rodgers reporting to camp after we went off the air yesterday. It was basically reported that he is coming back for one more season. It feels like that golf event that he had with Tom Brady when the stuff wasn't on air. Tom Brady was like, listen, Aaron, play one more year, get it done, and then be like me. Go to another team, win a Super Bowl, or win another Super Bowl. Feels like that's the way it went down. We'll see. But Rodgers definitely back with the Packers this season. So, Davis, you got that one right. All right, Simone Biles withdraws from the women's team gymnastics final. Very, very tough ending, of course, for her. By the way, the Olympics, I saw this morning, are having the lowest ratings ever in the history of the Olympics. I don't know why that is. Seems like it's fun to me. Naomi Osaka loses in the third round of the Olympic tennis tournament. The A's and Yankees trade for a pair of relievers yesterday. The bigger one goes to Oakland, I believe, from Chicago, as Andrew Chaffin goes there, a left-handed reliever, and they get a couple prospects back. And then Davis in the NBA, we did have a trade between Memphis and New Orleans. And at this point, it looks like the Grizzlies are now going to pick 10th overall on Thursday night. So that was a kind of earth-shattering trade a little bit anytime you move into the top 10.
Yeah, it seemed like sort of an odd trade for me because it feels as if both of these teams were sort of like very confident about what they were going to be getting in terms of the pick, which, you know, I don't ever feel that strongly about. Like, basically, the Grizzlies really wanted the number 10 pick and they really didn't want the number 17 pick. The Pelicans get, I think, a really good player. I think that Jonas is probably a little bit better of a fit next to Zion Williamson than Steven Adams. So it's not to say anything bad about Steven Adams, but also, you know, the Pelicans get off of Adams's rather large contract. They get off of Eric Bledsoe's money. Eric Bledsoe was being paid much more money than he was delivering on the court. You know, the Pelicans were better with Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Josh Hart playing next to Lonzo Ball. So that's a pretty big deal for them. But I mean, to me, just sort of a bizarre trade. And I guess, you know, the Pelicans did give up the number 10 pick and a future first. So the Pelicans can't tank. We know that. And we don't want to start talking about it this early, but they are already in Zion, please don't leave us, please don't request a trade mode, because they really have not been that competitive with him there. And so tanking is not an option. They give up the first round pick. You never love to give up multiple first round picks, but I like Jonas Valanciunas. I think he is a good player.
Yeah. And look, we went through this a little bit with Giannis Davis a couple of years ago. There was some thought that Milwaukee was not doing enough to back him. And here he is 2 years later winning a championship. Maybe Zion Williamson will have the same result. In baseball, Davis, there's a lot of rumors about the Washington Nationals and what they may do. We're going to hit on that coming up in about 10 minutes on Max Scherzer. But what did you think of these Trey Turner rumors out there? This guy is like the second best shortstop, if not the best, in all of baseball.
I mean, what would the realistic package for a guy like Trey Turner be? I mean, I guess the fact that he has one more year of arbitration left. So, you know, he's locked into being on the Nationals if they want him for one more season. And then in his age 30 season, 2 years from now, he is an unrestricted free agent. My guess would be is that the Nationals would like to extend him, that they would like to keep him on the roster for, you know, give him a big fat 8-year contract or whatever. But also his services vary in demand on the open market. Certainly other teams, you know, with more financial resources, the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, et cetera, could pay him more money. It would be odd for him to be traded at this stage for me, though, I think.
I agree. I mean, in the offseason, definitely a possibility. Another team gets involved. They want to extend him. I can see that. You know, they have to pay Juan Soto, whatever he wants. That's going to be coming up, I think, in 3 years. So I guess that's part of the conversation. Soto's looking for a Tatis contract. And by the way, probably gets it. All right, coming up next, we're going to dive back into the NBA draft, take a look at some late first round options over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll also hear from one of our draft picks. And then Davis and I will play a little game of will they be traded or not traded in baseball. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Fantasy baseball, this could affect you. Will Joey Gallo switch leagues? Will Trey Turner switch leagues? Will Max Scherzer switch leagues? It could affect you a lot. So we'll give our final thoughts on that as we get closer to the deadline on Friday. Stick with us. More Fantasy Sports Today next.
Sp- SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coming up on Thursday night, FanDuel has so many good options posted for you. If you're interested in betting on the positioning in the NBA draft, tomorrow on the show we'll hear from a couple of the potential top picks. Today, we're more focused in on the end of the very first round in the NBA draft. So myself and Davis and Brett Levy are going to run through this here for you guys, maybe give you a little bit of an edge before Thursday night begins, something you potentially can bet right now. Let's start off in the first round with Jared Butler, who played at Baylor last year, one of their better players, 16.7 points per game. He's 6'4", 20 years old, 3 rebounds per game, almost 5 assists. And I'm looking on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I see his draft position at 21.5. We talked yesterday, Davis, about how these numbers are so dicey, because a player can just, you know, go very high in the first round, and some just don't even get drafted at all. Now, I feel like the three players we're going to talk about today are going to get drafted, because I've heard of them all, two guys from the SEC and one guy from the Big 12, and Baylor, of course, was really good last year. So I know a little bit about these players, and I feel pretty strongly that they'll get taken either in the first or second round. But do you think Butler goes below his number on FanDuel at 21.5, or do you think he goes above that number?
Yeah, I actually like the under on Jared Butler. He's a good-sized point guard, about 6'3", 205, 210 pounds. He shot 41% on 6.2 three-point attempts per game. That's very good. And it's definitely what you're looking for from a point guard that you would be taking a shot on. You'd want him to be able to shoot, and you'd want him to be a good size. Like, you know, I was kind of giving Sharif Cooper some crap yesterday because he's incredible with the ball. He's super fast. He's all around the court, but he's a smaller guy, does not shoot particularly well. That is not true of Butler. And I think there are some clear teams that would want him. I think the Atlanta Hawks definitely need a backup point guard. They were playing the Lou Williams, Rajon Rondo roulette. I mean, they were playing Bogdan Bogdanovic as their backup point guard in the playoffs at some point last year. That's not great. The Hawks pick at 20. I think Oklahoma City might have interest. And they pick above, I mean, Oklahoma City picks twice in between 10 and 20. So I like the under on Jared Butler. I think it's pretty solid.
All right, Brett, let's turn it over to you. Baylor was one of the best teams in the country last season. Is Butler a top 21 pick?
So Jared Butler is a fantastic player. He was actually the tournament's most outstanding player, Craig. I bet on Davion Mitchell. Butler goes off in the national championship game, takes all the shine away from Davion Mitchell, who had like one turnover the entire tournament going into that game. I'm differing with David. I think he's going over that 21.5. I haven't bet this because I love the player, Craig. He's one of the best two-way players in the draft. He's been a problem ever since he stepped on the court at Memphis or at Baylor, excuse me. But he's an undersized wing, is truly what he is. He was not their point guard at Baylor. That was Davion Mitchell. They had another guy be their main ball handler off the bench. And Butler, you know, he's a corner three shooter. He's a good athlete on the wing, but he's small for an NBA shooting guard or an NBA three. And, you know, he's tough. So I think teams will like him. He was, like, unable to go through pre-draft workouts, so I think that will play a little into his draft position. But I would go over the 21.5. It's not a knock on the player. It's more, I think in the NBA draft, there's a lot of upside and age and, oh, this guy, you know, competed hard in front of us, whatever it may be. So I think it's just kind of unfortunate circumstance for Butler that he was unable to participate in all these workouts leading up to the draft.
All right, difference of opinion on Butler. Let's move on to the Florida Gators and Trey Mann, who I watched play. Finally, we can talk about a guy that I saw. He made a huge jump from his freshman to sophomore season. I would not have guessed that he'd be a first-round pick, honestly, in the NBA draft. He had a great SEC tournament, a pretty good NCAA tournament, 16 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, 3 assists. Kind of inconsistent. I think Davis shooting the threes. He's had good games. He's had poor games. But he's very young, 20 years old, like a lot of these other kids. But I think he only averaged a handful of points his first year at Florida under Mike White. And then his second year, he basically became either the team's best option or second best option on the perimeter. But 2 years ago, when they recruited Mann, I thought he was a really good player. I did not think we'd be talking about him in the first round. And if he came back for another year, I could see him. I could have saw him as a top five pick in the draft. But he's coming out this year. His number is 23.5. What do you got here?
Yeah, I mean, very big difference between Trey Mann's numbers as a freshman. He shot 27% from three as a freshman, shot 40% from three as a sophomore, playing way more minutes, taking way more shots. He, to me, seems like doesn't he just seem like a classic Houston Rockets player? Just like, you know, he's a rangy guy. He's 6'5 as a point guard, but he's kind of skinny. And he's totally taking a shot. Like, if you believe who he was as a freshman, he's not even really a draftable player. If you believe more of what he was as a sophomore, I think you could make an argument to take a 6'4 point guard who shot 40% from college three at, like, you know, 12 overall. And it just kind of depends on what you believe. I'd be interested to hear from Brett if he's got any specific insight on, like, how this guy did at the combines, if he's heard any scuttlebutt, because this is the type of player that I would like to take shots on, because he just has such a clear role in the modern NBA.
Yeah, an unusual jump, Brett, for him. And I believe he had his career high against Tennessee. He came on at the end of the year, I remember, in the SEC tournament. But, man, he's a first-round pick. Is that right, Trey Mann?
I don't think he goes in the first round, Craig. And I think a lot of his jump in numbers had to do with, as a freshman, he might have been playing out of position a little bit. Florida had a point guard who was in the national championship game last year and was actually on the Olympic qualifying roster for Team Canada, Andrew Nembhard, that kind of forced Trey Mann off the ball a little bit his freshman year. So I think maybe part of his bounce back could have been he was in a more comfortable position. I don't really have a great feel for this one. I would lean over, Craig, but I know we have a Jaden Springer interview coming up, so I want to get to that so everyone can hear what he had to say.
Okay. Yeah, I got over on that, too. I don't see him as a first-round pick. All right, let's get to Jaden Springer from Tennessee, 18 years old, one and done, 12.5 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, 2 assists per game. And we've got a couple different positions here. To be a top 10 pick, he's plus 730. And his draft pick position is just below Trey Mann's. And at the combine, Jaden Springer was asked a couple of different questions, so hang with us here. This will give you a little bit of an indication on the teams that want him. He rolled off all of the teams that he met with and talked about what he could bring to the table.
So far, I met with the Knicks, the Bucks, the Warriors, the 76ers, the Bulls, the Lakers, the Rockets, the Clippers, the Nets, the Grizzlies, the Raptors, and the Suns.
Thank you very much. What has been like for you? What are you kind of trying to show teams about yourself?
The process has been pretty good so far. Just really trying to show them that I'm ready to compete on the next level. I'm ready to make that step. I've been working on my game. I've really been improving the last 2 months, and I want to show them that my talents, everything I could do in workouts.
Well, there you go, Davis. I saw you jotting down all those teams' names, right? Like the 8 teams that the 4 teams that could go before 22.5, the 4 teams that can go after 22.5. Combine actually provided some interesting info. 20 seconds. Jaden Springer, over under 22.5.
No, don't buy it. Didn't shoot enough 3-pointers, not consistent enough off the dribble. I think a lot of those teams he met with are thinking about getting him with a second round pick. I think that this is kind of your prototypical guy who ends up sliding. So I'd be on the under on his numbers.
All right, Brett, what about you?
Yeah, I'm throwing out a lot of what happened at Tennessee last year. Weird year for the Volunteers. A lot of upperclassmen back with high-level freshman talent. So if I'm doing that for Keon Johnson, I have to do it for Springer, and I would lean under, but I don't feel great about that one, Craig.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another preview of the NBA draft, but coming up next, it's time for Davis and I to throw some darts. Will players be traded in Major League Baseball? Who is going to leave their teams in the next 48 hours? We'll tell you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Time for us to play a little traded or not traded in baseball, in fantasy baseball. And obviously, if I have any insight on any of this, I'll definitely share with you here on the show without a doubt. But Davis, this is going to be a lot of fun because we are guessing. We don't really know. But some of these players definitely have a chance to shake the fantasy landscape here in the last couple of months. So as maybe our discussions move toward football, we still have another week, really, of baseball and how things can seriously change. So you ready to dive in and go through some of these all-stars and potential trades?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we love as sports fans. Like, nothing gets a sports fan more jazzed up than a good trade. Like, we love trades.
Yeah, we do. All right, let's get started. Future Hall of Famer Davis, Max Scherzer. We've heard all of the rumors now in the last 24 hours about the Washington Nationals. Scherzer now says that he's willing to accept a trade. There are rumors being spread that he's willing to only accept a trade to the West Coast. So you know what that means. It is the Dodgers. It is the Padres. And Davis is praying it is the Nationals. Or I'm sorry, it is the Angels. But I don't know that they have anything to trade to Washington there. Let's set the table here. Scherzer's a free agent at the end of the season. If he wants to go back to Washington, he can. There's no money exchanged. Apparently, Scherzer's contract essentially is all in signing bonus, so whoever acquires him doesn't really have to give up that much. We've also heard now about Trey Turner. Is that smoke? Is that fire? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that they're just putting feelers out. But let's go ahead and get started. Max Scherzer, Davis, on Friday, will he be traded or not traded?
Max Scherzer, traded. This is the one that I feel the strongest about of all these guys we're about to discuss, because it makes the least amount of sense for him to remain on the Nationals. Like, the Nationals can't even get above water in what is the least competitive division, at least in terms of the top in baseball. Like, he is going to be traded, and he should be traded. And I would be bummed out on the Nationals if, you know, 37 or 38 year old Max Scherzer is there, you know, in the dog days of August. It's 101 degrees, it's sweaty, he's hot, and the Nationals are 15 games back of the division. Like, even if it's a small prospect, even if it's for cash, like, let Scherzer go somewhere and compete for a championship. Like, I feel like it is a miscarriage of baseball justice. So I think he will be traded.
Yeah, the Giants was the other team I didn't mention, but I am in agreement with you. I think that Scherzer will be traded. And by the way, if Washington was hovering around 500 and they were still playing for even something, I don't think he would. I think Washington would have hung on to him for the entire season. But you're right, they have fallen so far back. And I think that McCutchen walk-off home run last night, that was the end. There's no hope for Washington this season. They made that crazy epic run in 2019, but they started that in late June and into July. And they have not started anything like that this season. Strasburg has been hurt. Schwarber has been hurt. And I mean, there's just no hope for them. They're not catching the Mets. They're not catching the Phillies, and probably not catching the Braves. So I'm with you. I believe Scherzer will be traded. I don't know where, but this week. But Dodgers, Padres, Giants, if you believe that, then those are the West Coast teams that are possible. All right, now, this past offseason, Davis, the Colorado Rockies told us what their future was going to look like when they traded Nolan Arenado to the St. Louis Cardinals. That left behind Trevor Story, their all-star shortstop. He's only hitting .242 this season with 12 home runs and 46 runs driven in and 17 stolen bases, which is a lot. I'll start here. I believe Trevor Story will not be traded. It may make sense for the Rockies to trade him, Davis, but do the Rockies ever do anything that really makes a lot of sense? Let's start with that. Secondly, would they be selling Trevor Story at a very low price? I think so. Like, let's take a look at those numbers again. At Coors Field, Trevor Story has 12 home runs the entire season? Like, this is just not the guy that we're used to. I know his defensive metrics have also been down this season. I think they got to just address this in the offseason and don't rush on this one, because the return for Arenado, besides getting Austin Gomber, was really, really light. Don't make the move, Colorado. Hang on to Story. In the end, in the offseason, work out some other deal where you can trade him or sign him long-term. I'm going to say not traded on Trevor Story.
So I also agree, not traded. The Rockies are just never aggressive trading their good players, even when they're bad anyways. Like, they wasted all of Charlie Blackmon's prime. They waited 2 years too long to trade Nolan Arenado. They never traded Carlos Gonzalez, right? Gonzalez retired, went to the Cubs, then came back. And then also think about the teams that are leading their divisions and would want to buy. How many of those teams need a shortstop, right? The Brewers just traded for Willy Adames. The Red Sox have Xander Bogaerts. The Mets have Francisco Lindor. The Giants have Brandon Crawford, having the best season of his career. The Dodgers have Corey Seager. The Padres have Fernando Tatis. The Astros have Carlos Correa. Like, you go up and down, who's trading for a shortstop? And to my knowledge, I don't think Story... I mean, he could probably do second base. Like, could Trevor Story play a passable second base? Sure. But as like an actual shortstop, like, I feel like the market for him, you're exactly right, Craig. This is just not the market to be trading him. So I think they will wait to the offseason. So I'm saying not traded.
Yeah, and I think they'll get a lot for him in the offseason too. All right, Byron Buxton, according to The Athletic, declined a long-term contract extension. He has a broken hand, will not be back until next month. If you look at these stats, these are the best stats in the time period that he played, better than any player in baseball. 370, 10 home runs. This guy was just crushing it, but got hurt two different times. He still has one more year, Davis, on his contract with the Minnesota Twins. He was asked yesterday about being traded or not. He said he wants to stay in Minnesota, and I definitely think they can address that in the offseason or next year, but... there could be an opportunity now with the Twins being out of it to move him. Does he get traded or not traded this week?
I feel like he should be traded. Like, this is one very, very similar to Scherzer. I feel like he should be traded because it doesn't seem like the Twins and Buxton agree. Like, the Twins would like to extend him, but they don't want to give Byron Buxton as much money as he is asking for. I've said every time we've talked about Buxton on the show, I think there is a much larger contract out there for him from another organization. I think the Twins will not trade him, but I absolutely think they should, because I mean, I want my guy Byron Buxton to go get the bag. Let him go get paid by an organization that values him.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think there's a chance that Buxton has no new contract and goes into his final year with the Twins, and we're having the same contract talks again next year. I do. And look, could you really blame the Twins? They're looking at it right now. He's been hurt. He's been on the injured list 8 times in 4 years. You know, we'd like to see him play healthy a little bit more. You know what he brings, but he doesn't stay on the field. So I kind of get it from their perspective a little bit. Maybe in the offseason, this is something else that gets discussed. You just heard Buxton say that he doesn't want to be traded, so there's no real urgency for the Twins to say, oh, this guy wants out, let's do it. Maybe he will stay. And I don't think he's just saying that. Remember, Buxton trains in Florida. He's from Florida. He's from Fort Myers. That's where he trains too. So I will say Buxton not traded as well. We're in agreement on all. Let's get to the final one here. One of Davis's guys, Joey Gallo, who came on over the last month to pump up 24 home runs on the season. He's driven in 52. He's stolen 6 bases. He's hitting just .222 on the season, which is usually about where he's at, maybe a little bit higher. Gallo plays a very passable center field, plays right field. and Davis, Joey Gallo has got to get traded this week. This is the Rangers have got to get out from under this. They've got to cash in a little bit on some prospect capital. They just went through a 10-game losing streak. You could make the argument right now. I mean, is there any team in worse position than Texas right now in Major League Baseball? Honestly, like in the American League, like they got their best player, Adalys Garcia, just on a guess. Like they have no pitching. They have no hitting whatsoever. Brand new park. And they got to be 3 or 4 years away from competing. What would they be doing going for a draft pick, letting him go in the offseason? No way. Joey Gallo is getting dealt. I don't know where, but he is getting traded on Friday for sure.
I think he should be traded. I mean, you know, coming up with landing spots for him is not as easy. I feel like the most obvious trade spot for him, though, wasn't it the San Diego Padres? Because they've been giving all those plate appearances to Jerks and Profar and you know, Ha-Seong Kim and stuff. But you also left off something from Joey Gallo's bona fides there, which is he could also play third base. I mean, he came up as a third baseman. Mm-hmm. You don't want him playing third base every day because he's a huge dude and you don't want him to get hurt. But if he's only playing 2 times a week, if he's only playing 3 times a week, one of those can be in center field, one of those can be in right field, one of those could be at third base, no problem. So I feel like the Padres were the team that should have traded for him, but he has a huge market in the National League. You know, I think that the Giants could use another left-handed bat. How terrifying would Joey Gallo be as a pinch hitter for the Dodgers in the playoffs, right? So they're, you know, when they get into the left-handed part of their bullpen, they sub out Justin Turner for Joey Gallo. I just, oh my gosh. I can't imagine him in the Dodgers whites. It would be unbelievable. But I'm with you. I do think he gets traded. I think there's a real market for guys like him, especially because he can do a job at third base, and it wouldn't surprise me to see a team use him there as a defensive replacement.
Yeah, I think he's headed to the NL East. I think I'm going to get to see him here in South Florida. The Phillies do not have a bona fide center fielder. The Mets really don't have a bona fide center fielder. And can you tell me who's in the Braves outfield these days? I know they got Jock Peterson, but man, like they lost Acuna, they lost Ozuna. They're not getting either of those guys back. I think Gallo's going. I think this is a fantasy deal where if you're playing in an AL league and you lose a guy going to the NL, I think you're going to lose Gallo this week. I think he's going to go over to the NL. And you mentioned a really good point, too. You could just pinch hit this guy also. Like, even if he doesn't play, bring him up against the righty. This guy just mashes against those. So we got 2 players being traded and 2 players staying. We'll continue this discussion tomorrow here on Fantasy Sports Today. But coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at some of the games in Major League Baseball today and look at the odds on FanDuel. We'll have it for you next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock as we take a look at today's afternoon and evening baseball schedule. We have a full slate of games as I see here getting ready to play today. But for the Blue Jays yesterday, Davis, another tough one. They lose 5-4 to the Boston Red Sox. It's fading pretty quickly here as today the Blue Jays are favorites because they have the better pitcher on the mound. And Robbie Ray will start against Garrett Richards. The total tells you there's going to be a lot of runs scored in this one. And the total is 11 that I'm seeing right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. This is it, Davis. Like, the Blue Jays are really down to the wire here. You may get your Angels are rallying here a little bit. They seem to be picking it up a little. But, man, this has been a tough go of it for Toronto.
Absolutely killing me. I mean, who would have thought that we would be at this point of the season after the All-Star break? Most teams have played about 90 games. Who thought that the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim with no Mike Trout. Mike Trout, the most recent report, he felt something in his hamstring during his rehab the other day. But the Angels have more wins than the Toronto Blue Jays. So you could have made some money on a bar bet with that one, especially as, you know, it looked like Vlad Guerrero Jr. was maybe the best hitter in baseball. I mean, just honestly a bummer. Because I, you know, we've talked about it a ton on the show, but I love this Blue Jays team. I think they're awesome. I think they are a phenomenal baseball team, and I love, you know, I love all their young guys. But whatever it is that the Boston Red Sox have going, they really have it going, because they are, every day it feels like they are just separating themselves from the rest of the American League. A total of 11 with these guys on the mound is hilarious to me. Now, granted, the Boston Red Sox, it's, you know, the Fenway is a huge run environment. It's hot. The ball is carrying all of, you know, all of those caveats, but the total of 11 is wild. I'm taking the Reds, or I'm not taking the Red Sox. I'm taking the Blue Jays here. Custer's last stand, Robbie Ray's last stand, but I'm not putting my full heart and conviction in that one.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you knew what the Blue Jays were missing at the beginning of the season with starting pitching and bullpen. And that's exactly what has played out. And who knows, maybe they'll still jump in and make a trade. But I got a feeling if tonight they lose, I think that's it, man. I mean, there's only 2 days to go. All right, Yankees and Rays tonight. Yankees just trying to get back in there somehow. And you know they're never sellers, so maybe they'll make a move before this game begins. Tampa Bay is right on the cusp of first place again. And Shane McClanahan's a pretty massive favorite tonight, minus 158 over the Yanks. They're plus 134. The total is 8. If I'm not mistaken, there's a chance Aaron Judge is coming back this week. I'm not sure when. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. We'll keep an eye on that as well. The Rays are rumored to be looking at more players, Davis. They just got Nelson Cruz. What did he do? I think he homered in his first two games with Tampa Bay. There's something going on there always at Tropicana Field. I don't know if the Rays are going to end up winning the division, but they're making the postseason. And this is another team that can kind of sweep the Yankees this week and send them home packing too.
Yeah, and, you know, McClanahan, I think pretty quietly, has been one of those few pitching prospects that comes up right away. And, you know, I wouldn't say he's, like, I don't know if he's going to win AL Rookie of the Year or anything. I, you know me, I'm so deep in these best ball drafts, I would need to zoom out for a second and go look a little bit closer. But McClanahan has been super good. You know, more like he is striking out like a batter and a half per inning. He is, you know, routinely getting up to at least 5 or 6 innings pitched in his starts now. That was the concern when he first came up, is just that he was not fully stretched out. So a couple of his starts, he only went 3 innings, but recently he's been able to go 5, 5.5, 6, 6, and 5 over his in 5 of his last 6 starts. I think you really have to view that as a positive sign for him. So Jordan Montgomery versus Shane McClanahan. I mean, considering the state of the Yankees lineup right now, which is, it's like the most hilarious thing in baseball. I was talking with my buddy the other day who bets a lot of baseball, and we both bet that stupid Gerrit Cole game where they ended up losing anyway, where I was so excited to go bet him as an underdog. And he was making the point to me that the Yankees season-long numbers are okay, which is true if you look at like their run production and their weighted on base average as a team. But that's not the lineup that they're using right now, right? Brett Gardner, Gio Urshela, Ryan Lamar. I mean, who is Ryan Lamar, Craig? Please tell me who Ryan Lamar is, because I don't know. But he played right field for the Yankees last night, which is a tough scene. So I'm going with the Rays here, and I am done being the Yankees defender on the show. No more of that. I'm done. I'm done being the guy who's telling you to just wait, and it's gonna get there.
Yeah, just so many blown saves this season for them too, which is so uncharacteristic of Chapman. But, you know, the other thing with Chapman too, Aroldis Chapman, is that this is his 10th season in the big leagues. How many closers last 10 seasons, let alone with just two teams? I know he went to the Cubs briefly and he went back to the Yankees, but once he left Cincinnati, he became the best closer in baseball, essentially. But, I mean, it could be ending. It very well could be ending for him. It is possible. These guys don't last that long. And I feel like the Yankees didn't identify that quickly. Like, they just keep putting him out there and keep assuming, and the same results keep happening. So I'm with you. And look, Tampa Bay can put them out for good this week if they sweep. All right, well, I feel like Dodgers-Giants is going to go down to the end. Right now, San Francisco, Davis, holds a 2-game lead for the division over L.A., and they're still going to play each other a lot. But I suppose what could happen, it's not likely, but the Giants could sweep, and that would put LA 5 back, and that would certainly change things. But very rarely, when these teams play each other, they go back and forth constantly. And tonight, Julio Urias on the road is only minus 124 at San Francisco against Logan Webb. The total is 8. You can see FanDuel, Davis, and the books have started to believe in the Giants now. It's gotten to the point where if this game was back in April, what would the Dodgers be? Minus 170? Minus 160? But what we're seeing with San Francisco appears to be real. The Dodgers are playing without Mookie Betts. They're also probably playing without Cody Bellinger. I don't know what the lineup will look like, but he left the game on Sunday, so I'm not sure if he'll play tonight. But not having those two players along with Corey Seager in a lineup does sort of become the equalizer. Urias definitely the better pitcher here, but probably a close game. Total is 8 tonight.
I mean, I am just wanting to bet the Dodgers as much as possible, especially when they're short like this. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Logan Webb, who has pitched very well this season. His expected fielding independent pitching is one of the better in baseball, sitting at 3.04. He has a 25% strikeout rate, an 8% walk rate. He's been very good. But to me, I feel like just my philosophy this whole season has been the Dodgers are the best team. It doesn't matter who's banged up. It doesn't matter all of the small minutiae of the weekly schedule, but the Dodgers are the best team. And I think that will be proven to be true in the end. You know, I think that all the plate appearances they're giving to Zach McKinstry and Billy McKinney, the greatest Met of all time, who is now on the Dodgers roster. I think that all of that stuff comes out in the wash because their starting pitching is so good. Their bullpen is so good. And even with these injuries, I mean, Chris Taylor, he's been a top 10 hitter in baseball by any metric you want to look at. Justin Turner has been super good. Will Smith, one of the best hitting catchers. Now, they are very shorthanded right now. Mookie's not playing. Bellinger's not playing. Seager's not playing. All of these things are true, but I don't care. I'm taking Julio Urias and the Dodgers tonight, and I still feel like that is the correct decision.
Yeah, game of the week for it could be the series of the week for sure between these two teams. We know that there's always issues going on between them. Real good rivalry in the Padres now with Frazier. We'll see if that changes the game as well. By the way, Davis, the game we talked about yesterday, I don't know if you caught this. I didn't see it because I was sleeping, but I did see this morning. Oakland had a 7-0 lead on Seattle yesterday, and the Mariners came all the way back, and Dylan Moore hit a home run, and the Mariners beat the A's. They're just a game or two behind Oakland for the final wild card, and their run differential is pushing minus 50. We can't find any good reason Seattle should still be in this thing, and now we're hearing rumors that they're in on some potential trades. Like, I mean, maybe this is just Seattle's year. I feel like they're probably one of the teams we've talked about the least during fantasy baseball, and for good reason. Like, you really can't go through their roster and pick out five guys and say, this guy helped me win a championship. You can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely true. Like, a look at the Mariners lineup and the guys who have been really productive for them. I mean, they've gotten a great season out of Mitch Haniger. They've gotten a good season out of my guy, Ty France. But, I mean, all of these guys, they're rotating through in their lineup. Your Cal Riley's, your Luis Torrens, your Shed Long Juniors. I mean, even their starting rotation, Logan Gilbert has been very good after that. Mm-hmm. You know, he had that horrible first start. He really picked things up and got it back together. But, you know, Marco Gonzalez, Chris Flexen, like, it's a very bizarre thing for them, don't you feel? Like, I have no explanation for how they're doing what they're doing. And any team where I see no explanation for how they're doing what they're doing, my instinct is to start fading them. Like, just for example, Seattle is, if you had to guess, where do you think Seattle is in team weighted on base average on offense?
21st.
28th. Worse than Pittsburgh, worse than St. Louis, worse than Arizona in terms of team weighted on base average. And you can look at their lineup right now and say, okay, well, they have Kalanick up. They have these guys who are hitting that well. I think the move is to, as much as possible, if the market starts to respect the Mariners in these individual games or even in the futures market, is to find ways to short them out a little bit. I feel like that has to be appropriate.
Yeah, and they really haven't. Like, the Giants are getting respect at the books now, But the Mariners still are not. Just look at yesterday's game. I mean, Houston was what? Minus 160, minus 170 going into that game. Real quick, I know we haven't spent a lot of time on the Olympics. The numbers came out after the first few days. Davis, what do you make of this, that this is the lowest rated Olympics ever, basically, television-wise? I feel like my timeline does have a little bit of discussion. I know a lot of it has to do with it being in the middle of the night, too. But usually there are those diehard people that still watch it, but for some reason it's just not getting a lot of watches this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I always say every time we talk about ratings for anything. You could do my bit right here for me. There's too much to watch, man. There is so much to watch. You could watch your favorite show. You could rewatch The Office. You could watch baseball. You could watch, there's so much going on. You could watch NBA draft coverage. You could be listening to your favorite podcast. You could be watching your favorite YouTube show. Also, the NBC Sports app has been kind of buggy. That's how I've been watching it, is I've been watching the events on the NBC Sports app on my smart TV, and sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't. And so there are a lot of different factors going in. And maybe you could say some of it is the crowds or whatever. You know, there is no crowd there, so it's kind of weird. I actually have been watching it more than I thought I would. I watched the skateboarding. I watched the triathlon last night. What a gnarly event the triathlon is. Like, at the end, you know, you have people running through, like, horrible cramps. Some gal tore her knee and finished the triathlon last night. Like, unbelievable. So I've been enjoying it, but my answer to poor ratings is what it always is, which is we are just spoiled of our choice.
Yeah, definitely so. All right, we will take a quick time out here on Fantasy Sports Today. As a reminder, for those of you who are watching us, you can also catch our podcast version on iTunes or Google or Stitcher, wherever you consume your podcasts. We have our show Fantasy Sports Today available usually within about an hour after the show is complete. You can download it and subscribe to it. And as soon as we're done, you can populate it and listen to it every day. And it'll really help you during football season as we get much closer to that. College football season is less than a month away, NFL season a little bit over a month. So make sure you search for Fantasy Sports Today in podcasts and download us each and every day. We'll be right back. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've got our update coming up at the top of the hour. Chris Costin standing by for the latest on NFL training camps, so make sure you stay on the grid for that. We also have our recap of the first two rounds of the 2021 Raz Bowl, and it is essentially best ball fantasy football draft. Davis is in it. I am in it. Brett is in it. And I feel like, Davis, I don't know about the comparison to some of the other leagues, but I feel like we're at a good pace right now. So potentially, if we recap the first two rounds today, maybe we can recap 3, 4, and maybe 5 tomorrow. I think that's a 50-50 shot. I know that we're going to get through the fourth round here, though.
Yeah, we actually did just get through the fourth round. I was able to make a couple picks there at the turn. I think Brett Levy is sitting there in the draft room, our producer sitting there waiting to make his fifth round selection. Brett has a nice little team brewing. Craig, I think your team looks pretty good. I think you guys have really started to take in the lessons from, you know, me wailing on about these best ball fantasy football drafts for the last 2 months. I think you guys were able to pick some of the stuff up by osmosis, and I really enjoy all the picks I've made. I did not feel gross making any of them. I really like the roster that I've been able to put together thus far. So, of course, thanks to our friends over at Razzball for putting it on, and I'm enjoying the draft.
Yeah, and it's over on the NFBC site, so it's really easy, and I love the notifications that I get on my phone. It is so good. Like, Davis, I would never remember to make a pick if I didn't get that notification, but you get the almost your pick, and then it's your pick, and I know that, like honestly, if somebody can't make a pick in 4 hours with these notifications, you're really doing the wrong thing. Like, I understand, and by the way, it could take me 2 hours to make a pick if I'm busy. But, I mean, I'm literally getting all of the picks right to my phone. I know what to do. I just hope that we have this done by next week, because Wednesday I'll be taking a little time off. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I definitely do not want to be drafting next Wednesday. But I don't know. What do you think? A week? We should be done, right? Hopefully.
So. We're not going to be done.
We're not going to be done. Great. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Coming up next, Chris has got the update. Then we've got our headlines here at the top of the hour. The latest in NFL training camp. We'll also hear from Andrew McCutcheon. Stay on the grid.